You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and this is a show that's going to help you connect. It's going to help you communicate better with everyone around you, because when we learn to communicate better with one another, we stand in our power, and we ultimately become a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee or employer, and basically, we become a better human being, the one that God intended us to be. And this is why Relate Well was created with Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. And also known as Dr. Rick, that's how most of you know him. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing really well, as a matter of fact.
I like really well.
I do too. It's wonderful to be. I just got back from a trip where I got to do a wedding in New Orleans for some really good friends of ours.
Wonderful.
Our kids grew up together, very close. So I've watched the Smith kids grow up, and their oldest son had a short wedding for COVID, and so now we're doing the wedding ceremony, and
I get to go do that.
So we went over to New Orleans and had a really good time, just being there with them, that kind of stuff, and. So I'm excited. And with the really neat thing for me, Luella's never had true Cajun.
Oh, she hasn't.
Seafood.
Ooh, how does she
and
like
she's
that?
She's been like, I want to go. And they've kind of put a schedule out for what we're doing for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And they're taking us to these real Cajun seafood places. Luella loved them.
Okay.
Of course, I'm not a seafood eater, so I get other things, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Luella, that to me was the blessing.
So did she have the bugs, the crawfish, and the spicy?
I'm not into any of that.
Oh, that's so good.
Give me chicken or steak, and I'll be happy.
The basics.
Exactly right.
So did you perform the ceremony?
I did. It went really well.
Oh, that's so great.
It went really well.
I'd love to see that all the weddings are happening now. Because COVID, I think it really put a big damper on a lot of wedding ceremonies.
It did for my oldest son, who, of course, he married a young lady from Egypt. She moved here back in February, right before COVID hit us. Mm-hmm. And so we did a short COVID wedding for them in April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 23rd of 2020, we actually did the wedding.
Wonderful. That's
down
so
at the
great.
Beach at Casa Marina Hotel, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, what a great place that is.
It was wonderful.
Here. Yeah, here in Jacksonville, we have that wonderful place that everyone, it seems like a lot of people get married there, and it's a great venue.
It really is. A great Sunday buffet, too.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not paid sponsors for them. We're just saying
it's
good
a great
food.
Place. Exactly
great
right.
Place. All right. Well, let's go into the first part of our segment, mm-hmm. which I love. This is our questions segment, and we get it from listeners all over the world, and everyone writes in, and this one comes from Barbie in San Francisco, California. This is an interesting one, so hold on.
All right.
Barbie says, my husband left me for his daughter's good friend. This is not my daughter. Yep, you heard me correctly. Everyone in the studio, their mouths are dropping right now, just so everyone gets a visual of what's going on. So let me start over. It says, my husband left me for his daughter's good friend, not my daughter. Yep, you heard me correctly. There's a 20-year age gap. I am not only angry, but I am disgusted, embarrassed, and a bit depressed, if I'm being totally honest. We have two kids together. Now, my life has been turned upside down because he bought the house down the street from our marital home where they plan to live together. Should I move somewhere else? And how do I get past the anger and resentment to even begin to co-parent with him?
Whoa.
Heavy.
First thing I want to do if I'm in her presence is look at her and give her a hug and say, I am so sorry. That I can't imagine.
I can't either.
Well, I take that back. I just thought of something. I was counseling a lady whose husband was cheating on her, and it turns out he was in his 60s at the time. They both were. He was cheating on her with a woman who was in her early 30s. And he left his marriage of 30-something years and married the 30-year-old, you know. And so I thought, well, when you have kids, you'll be in your 70s and 80s, so, you know.
Right.
So anyways, I knew it was like what that was like for her. I just thought about that. Wow.
I mean, it's a somewhat common scenario. I mean, we all kind of know someone who's been in that scenario or
you know,
it's
funny, if a woman does that today, we call her a cougar, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
a guy does, we call him a dirty old man.
Yeah.
And something there, right?
Right.
You know, something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, should she stay? You know, whether she stays in the house is up to her. I would tell you, in my personal opinion, it'd be very, very difficult to stay there. Very difficult to stay there. So she'd have to find another reason for staying in that place, and she'd have to find healing. So I would tell her, definitely go get counseling, work through the hurt. That's going to be a journey. One, she's lost. She has to grieve the loss of the marriage. She has to grieve the adultery. She has to grieve the loss of her hopes and dreams, right? She has to work through the anger and hurt of the betrayal. I mean, there are so many nuances to this one decision he made, right? Then she has to deal with the pain that it had to their kids, right? And so there are so many nuances to this. It makes you go, whoa. And, of course, the guy didn't care. He cares about himself and what he gets.
Like he's being a bit selfish right then.
Very much so. It's all about him.
It's all about him, yeah.
And so I would say to her, it's a hard one to really give any clarity around. Definitely get counseling. Go get some help. Process those things through. Whether you stay there or not, it'll be very difficult if he's right down the road.
And what about the children? Do the children need to also have counseling or?
Don't know the age of the kids.
Yeah,
so
she didn't
Don't, you know, they're their own kids.
Yes.
So I don't know that age. If they're young, probably not, you know. If they're older and struggling, you know, the way I work with kids is basically this. If a kid is hurting because of the divorce, don't put them in therapy. You know, I had a lady called me, they're divorced, and they have these 4 and 5 year old kids that are crying. And she wanted to put them in therapy. And I said, why would you want to put them in therapy? She said, well, they're hurting. I said, what would you expect to happen? Their whole world, pain is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But see, she doesn't want to deal with the pain. So she wants to put them in therapy so they don't hurt, so that she doesn't have to deal with it. I said, this is a parenting issue. But if you put a kid in to therapy for normal issues, you've just pathologized their pain. Don't pathologize their pain. Help them to work through and process it. If you don't know how, then go get help to help your kids. But when you put a kid into therapy for normal reactions to crises in life, you just basically said there's something wrong with you for feeling bad. No, that's actually normal. Someone dies, you grieve. If someone, your family breaks up, you're probably going to be hurt. It becomes a problem when the behaviors of the pain are now problematic on a regular basis. So if their school grades are being affected, if they're not sleeping, when you start to see those kinds of behaviors,
now you know that the
pain is now regulating the kid,
okay,
and the kid is not regulating the pain.
So there's no release of the pain, is what you're
exactly
saying.
Exactly. So now they're stuck, and you go to a counselor to help get the kid unstuck and grieve and move it forward.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. Don't pathologize normal painful reactions to life crises and events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what she's going to have to do, too. She's going to have to get through the pain and the grieving of, that's a lot. That's a lifetime.
That's a tough one to work through.
A world upside down.
Very much so.
Okay. All right. Well, Barbie, we definitely sympathize
with
you.
And I would say to Barbie, don't make a comparison between her, Barbie, and this other person. Don't think that just because he chose someone younger, that that's a reflection of you. It isn't. Your brain's going to tell you it is. And I call that little voice in your head, it. Tell it to shut up and just recognize this has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. It's who he is.
Good advice.
All right.
Good advice. I like that. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to Meredith from Vancouver, Canada. Meredith says, I was at lunch the other day with a group of girlfriends, and we have a question. So we have a group of girls who were asking, and they say, should you continue to be friends with your exes and We mean only friends, not friends with benefits, etc. Only friends. One friend double dates with an ex. One of the girls said that she had an ex at her wedding. And I'm still friends with all of my exes. So what do you say to Meredith and company, really, in Vancouver?
Well, from the marriage therapy field, let me speak to from that prism for a minute.
Yes.
It is always best that if you can't be married, they at least be amicable and friendly with each other so you can be good co-parents. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I think it's actually wise and healthy to acknowledge, you know what, though we didn't get do well as a husband and wife, we can still do well as friends, right? And be together, have a good relationship to be there for our family, our kids, right? Good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wise and healthy and wonderful, all right? The question is my new spouse intimidated by that person over there, or the ex, all right? So to me then, if you're dating someone and you go, by the way, I have an ex, but you need to know that we're actually on good terms. We're not on bad terms. So though I'm dating you, don't be threatened by that relationship, because personally, we don't want to be married. You see? But if you marry, you date me, just know that that's over there. And don't, I know people don't do that typically, but we have a good friendship and relationship because we believe having that is better than being married, but we also, it's better for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Absolutely.
Actually like that thinking.
Yeah, I do too. I've actually been in relationships which that's happened, and they're good friends with their ex. And I mean, I welcome the ex to come for, you know, dinner parties,
yeah.
for children's events, for all of those things. I mean, you see them, you know, whenever you go to games, you see them when you're at events, recitals, and I think that you all need to coexist and be mature about coexisting.
Yes. And I would
say, for the
benefit
of the kids,
from
at
a
least.
Christian perspective,
right.
from our Christian worldview, I don't know that us being hostile to our spouses, ex-spouses,
mm-hmm.
is what Christ would ask us to do.
Right.
I mean, in the end, if you think, well, that's the enemy, well, then love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got an answer for it. Then love your enemy. Yeah, but I don't like him. Well, love him anyways. Mm-hmm. You see? So to be hostile would be against the nature of Christ anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They may be hostile with me, but I'm not going to be hostile towards you.
Yeah.
I'll treat
hostility.
You with our four protectors. I'll, you know, the four protectors, goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. I'll still protect. I'll treat you that way. Why? Because I want to be that kind of a person.
Yeah.
So I think from a Christian worldview, it would be wise for us to have good relationships with our exes.
Yeah.
So that we can have a relationship for the children.
And sometimes that takes time. I mean, we just talked about
sure
Barbie's
does.
Scenario. I can't imagine she's going to be best friends immediately. I think it's going to take
yeah.
some time for her to work through some issues and get past some things.
And Angelia, I do need to say this. And let's be honest, some relationships are just over. They're just done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are volatile. And that's why the court systems have computer programs that you talk to yourself mm-hmm. through a computer program, and the court monitors the computer program.
Yeah, you got it. That's
you know,
true.
Because two people can't get it together, or at least one of the two can't get it together.
Yeah, but at least be as mature adults as you possibly can be.
Very much
and
so.
Work together for the benefit
so.
Of everyone, actually,
mm-hmm.
for the sanity of everyone.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a quick break right now, and we're going to come back and talk about some more good issues coming up
okay.
after the break. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks.
A healthy, nurtured relationship is key in making your life whole. Yet, for most, that perfect relationship is elusive. In Relationships for Life, marriage and family counselor and acclaimed speaker, Dr. Rick Marks, offers proven principles and skills for caring and mature relationships. Dr. Rick shares personal experiences from growing up in a broken home and how vulnerability led to healing in his own life. The book is a unique perspective packed with faith-based and clinical insights for making a relationship work. Relationships for Life is for anyone who wants to create and maintain healthy relations in every aspect of life. Available as a digital download in hardback and paperback on Amazon and in the web store at drrickmarks.com.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we just answered a few interesting questions, one from each side of the spectrum, I guess, if you will. And those are always great insight that you give us from the questions and the answers. Those are always, I think, very organic and loving answers from a very introspective point of view. So we appreciate you for that.
Yeah,
so.
I try and think about from different pieces based on what I hear. I'm like, wow, So
yeah,
those two he just had were like, particularly that one was pretty heavy.
Yeah, but these are scenarios you've really tackled in your past, and these are not rare scenarios. They do happen. So
yeah, it's like the one with Barbie, I think it was with the. It was funny. I'd forgotten about a case, but when you read it, it's like, oh my, I've dealt with something like that before. It's many, many years ago, but it was like, I've actually dealt with something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw the tragedy that it was on the family, but he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got what he wanted, you know, and he went on with his life.
Yeah.
So
some things are not fixable, but they are workable. Mm-hmm. And everyone will get through it, but you know, it doesn't always turn out the way that everybody plans it to, I guess.
The serenity prayer is a great place to, you know, kind of fit here. God grant me the serenity, peace, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
You're exactly right. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, now let's transition to something a little bit more fun.
Okay.
I was thinking that song that you always seem to sing, have you lost that love and feeling?
Uh-huh.
You always go to that. I mean, really, I want to ask everybody out there, have you lost that loving feeling in your relationship? But I guess we can probably say it's because you've lost the playfulness.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yes. You know, it was the articles and some of the research around being playful. And it's interesting because many years ago, I had a couple, Dr. Ed Tanner and his wife, Robin, ran my monthly Hope Weekend intensives.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't on my agenda, but I noticed one time, and I let them run the intensives, use my curriculum. But I noticed that on the second day near the end, they had the couple come up with a list of being playful. And I'm like, why are you doing that? They don't need to do that, right?
So childish. So
yeah, they don't need to be playful. They need to focus on this, focus on that.
Okay.
and yet the research actually shows if you want a healthy marriage, you got to be playful. You got to keep fun in the marriage, right? You got to have that time of being playful. Playfulness is I'm playful, right? I'm just a playful person. I'll get up and do stupid stuff. My wife will just stare at me, right? I go, that's who I am, right? And I think if I quit doing that on some level, she'd probably miss it, right?
Yeah, she'll miss it.
Know?
Yes, for sure.
Because I'm much more playful than she is. But, you know, that idea of being playful, there's a difference between childish and childlike. Mature adults are actually childlike, all right? Childlike means you're able to see wonder. You're able to dream. You're able to let loose and just have fun and be. Being childlike is really healthy. Being childish is not. That's immaturity. And the idea of being playful is being childlike, right? Don't lose the wonder. Don't lose the mystery, right? Do some playful things. And actually, research also shows that playfulness in a marriage links to better bedroom.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would help in every area. And it's funny, I was thinking when you were saying that, when I am dating someone, when I'm first starting to date someone, I don't like to go on dinner dates. I usually do a dinner date, the first date, just to see if, you know, there's a connection. But the second date, I want to be doing something fun. I want to see if you're fun, if you're competitive, if you can be a child, if you can laugh at yourself. Those are qualities that are really important to me.
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm going to be married to someone who is fun for the rest of our lives.
Yes, rather than someone who's
not. Stoic and boring and can't be a child, can't laugh at themselves, can't laugh at us, can't be real.
There was this quote in an article by St. Jude. It says this around playfulness in marriage. It says, playful behavior is such as surprising the partner, you know, and doing things to surprise them, you know. Now, I've done a lot of really playful things that my wife just rolls her eyes at, but I'll know she'll grin.
But it's entertaining.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I just surprise her doing stupid stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
So let me go, just maybe think about that. So here you go. Playful behavior, such as surprising partner, retelling and reenacting joint experiences with your partner, or jointly forming new experiences often contribute to the happiness and longevity of relationships. You know, my kids have put my wife and I in a position where we actually start traveling. We went to Indonesia to visit my son when he was in Peace Corps. And then we went and saw Bali and Bangdun. And we saw, you know, 4,000-year-old Buddhist and Hindu temples that are still standing, massive structures. And those were fun things. I went to one jungle there in Bali and I felt something pull on my back of my shirt. And next thing you know, a monkey's running up the back of my shirt and sits on my shoulder, right?
I thought you were going to say it's a child.
No, it was a monkey. And yeah. I had my phone with me, right? Uh-huh. And these other people go, hey, give me your phone, give me your phone. They took a picture of this monkey sitting on my back. I'm like, this is cool, right? Uh-huh. And those kind of things. And then my other kids were living in the Middle East, and we went to Jordan. And they took us around. But all of those experiences were fun. Luella and I got to have a different a part of each other, right? Mm-hmm. And those bring back really good memories. We can sit back and talk about them. Look at the memories. Look at the pictures. Remember what it's like being in Wadi Rum, the desert rum in southern Jordan, where, you know, where the part of the Ottoman fighting the Arabs took place. And Lawrence of Arabia, that movie with that famous British, you know, lieutenant, where he was fighting with the Arabs against him. All of that's there, right? And keeping fun alive, going and doing things together you'd enjoy. And so playfulness is important to the health of a marriage.
I thought it was interesting in the article that I was reading. It was saying that being playful, it makes you more attractive and visible to others. What are your thoughts on that?
I can see that because someone who's boring, stoic, mm-hmm. you don't tend to notice them, do you?
That's true.
They tend to just kind of fade
into the,
I like that word. I like that word, melt.
They just melt into
into the woodwork. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I didn't think about it. That's a good way to put it. And yeah, they do. But someone who's playful is out there. They're gregarious. You notice them, mm-hmm. right? And let's be honest. When you're playful, energy is positive. Mm-hmm. And your energy true. Brings up other people's energy, right? And so there's a real powerful piece to keeping your child lightness in your life and having that expressed in your marriage. You see, mm-hmm. going on cruises, you know, that's a lot of fun. And I didn't think Luella liked it, but she's actually the one.
Well, to some people.
Well,
maybe
yeah. Yeah. To me, it is.
I'm not a cruise person.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's not for everybody.
I like boating, but cruising is probably not my thing. But
yeah, I call those the S things.
Some people love it.
It's the S things, right? Uh-huh. I don't like them all, but Luella likes
them. Yeah, exactly.
I like them all, but
some people love cruises. Everybody's waiting on you. You don't have to lift a finger, and goodness gracious, you get to eat.
Oh.
The buffets galore and restaurants amazing.
Yeah. You know what I love about them is some of my most meaningful times was when I was on a Navy ship near the end of the day, the seas are calm, it's dusk, and I would go up topside and just sit and watch the sun go down. And all you have is the sounds of the ship. You might see porpoise running alongside you or flying fish moving away from the boat. Some of the most peaceful times. And I love going out on a cruise ship. And I try and find a place where I'm by myself just to recreate that experience, the mm-hmm. peacefulness and serenity of it, mm-hmm. you know.
So. Okay, well, that's nice. We're in a peaceful moment, but let's transition back to playfulness.
Okay, yeah.
I think you digressed.
But that's actually fun.
You just meditated for a moment.
For me, right? Yeah. That's actually fun.
Well, talking about fun, I mean, you don't want it to be monotony because monotonous things get boring and it doesn't allow you to feel alive and real and in the moment and I think being playful is really important to every aspect of a relationship.
It increases romance. It increases trust. It increases your own sensibilities in terms that you're not always stuffy or stoic. You tend to be more positive about life.
How does it increase trust? Playfulness increases trust.
Because we're doing things together.
Okay.
And when we're doing something together, we learn about each other. We get to do things. We get to experience each other. We get to learn different things about each other. That increases the trust because what are you actually doing fun, you're building in us.
Okay.
When couples get in conflict, they quit doing things that are what?
Fun. They don't want to have fun together.
No, they tend to separate.
Yeah, fun
so
separate.
Fun, keeping that alive as a part of your relationship always is one of those things that's like a good inoculation in a positive way for us.
Yeah.
You see? And when us is strong, it increases trust.
Yeah, so maybe if you're lacking in your relationship, have a little bit more fun just to spark everything again.
And that's the piece I was missing years ago when Dr. Tanner and Robin were telling the couples, go out, have some fun, write down what you want to do, and then choose one of these three things, right? And they were actually including that in the weekend. And way back then, I went, no, we're not going to do that. Looking back at it, they were right and I was wrong.
Ah, so does it have to be individualized to that particular marriage, though, or that particular relationship?
It's what they see as fun.
Okay, because you can't just say, oh, you know what, here's two or three things that really every relationship you should try. to go fun, to do something.
If you said, okay, Rick, you know what's really fun? It's going to the beach. No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't go
That's
to the beach. Us go to the beach. You know, if you just say, well, you know what's really fun? Going to a Civil War battlefield or Revolutionary War. And she's like, no, that's not fun. That's not fun. So what are you guys willing to do together that you would want to do together that would be fun? Go swim with the manatees.
Okay,
you know,
does it
go
have
to the mountains, whatever.
Does it need to be something that you agree on to be fun? Because what if you're in a marriage that you just can't agree on, you know what, battlefields are fun for both of us?
This is my Power of Us lecture, where I always say, even though I don't like the mall, but us likes the mall. Mm-hmm. I don't like the beach, but us likes the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Luella doesn't like battlefields, but us likes battlefields. Sometimes you go to do those things for us, and when you make the decision to do it for us, it is fun.
Really? Because
I'm thinking,
you know, maybe it needs to be something more.
Mm-mm. No, it's fun.
Out of the box. Neither one of you like to zip line. Neither one of you like to, but do it together because it's an adventure or something that
Luella,
the two of you will do together.
Luella
and have fun.
Wants to skydive.
Oh.
I said, honey, I'm excited for you, and I'll take you, and I'll
take
watch
pictures.
You from the ground, but I am not jumping out of an airplane.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But you know what's fun about that idea? To see her do it.
Enjoy
mm-hmm. it. That's mm-hmm. the fun part with me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't like the beach, but us will go to the beach. And I can stay at the beach for 3 or 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not there for me. I'm there for us. And when us is there, it is fun.
Yeah.
Because I get to see her enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right? Until Rick shows back up and goes, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
Right?
All right. 20 minutes at the mall. That's enough.
That's
I'm
exactly.
Done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I've had fun for you and I've had fun watching you. But
let's
now,
go to a battlefield.
Yeah, let's do something else. All right. Well, simply put, having fun keeps couples together, and other things that keep your relationship healthy and strong is coming up after the break. So stay tuned. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
To have and to hold from this day forward. Your wedding day was the biggest commitment of your life. Relationships change over time. Needs go unmet. Communication breaks down. And half of all marriages end in divorce. If till death do us part has become a challenge, then it's time to reconcile and reconnect. In his 1 to 3 day marriage intensives, Dr. Rick Marks coaches couples in distress back to their love and hope for a future together. Dr. Rick's intensives is not traditional therapy. Marriage intensives give couples the skills for communication, problem solving, emotional regulation, as well as the skills for healthy bonding and much more. Intensives empower couples to create the marriage they desire with Dr. Rick's Relate Well principles and tools, keeping couples out of the divorce graveyard.
I realized many years ago with the team that I work with that if we could teach people those skills for bonding and reattachment and communication and problem solving and emotional regulation and much more, it gives you the hope again, which can lead to the goodness and the love and the feelings and the intimacy so that you win. Your usness, your marriage wins, and your kids win.
87% of the couples who participated in Dr. Rick's marriage intensives reconnected their love for each other and remained married.
If you want to take the opportunity, you have the will to do it, you want to do it, and you want to save it, we'll show you how.
Intensives are cheaper than a divorce and much more meaningful. Save your marriage, reconnect your love, save a generation, and secure your future. For more information, visit drrickmarks.com or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we just left a playful segment, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping everybody was maybe thinking of a few ideas and things that they could enjoy with their spouse or their significant other and a way to integrate playfulness into their relationship. Because hopefully they wrote down a couple of things and maybe this weekend or, you know, coming up soon, they'll actually have some fun together.
Yeah.
I think that'll make a stronger bond and a healthier relationship. But right now I want to talk about some signs of a healthy relationship that's established.
Yeah, this would be any relationship, not just we're not talking about marriage here. We're really talking about just, you know, what are some things that research shows are some real signs of a healthy relationship. And, you know, I'm really thankful for the Dibble Fund. You know, their work has funded some really profound, solid curriculums that are taught in public schools across America, teaching young people how to have healthy relationships and how to make wise choices in those relationships.
I'll say that again. It's the Dibble Fund.
F-U-N-D, huh?
Dibble. So if anybody wants to look it up, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners that will write in and say, what was that again?
If there's a counselor out there or a pastor who would like to get trained in some really solid curriculum that they could teach their youth, you know, contact them, talk with them. You have to get certified. So you can go through a training, and they certify you to teach the curriculum. They need to know you're teaching it accurately. Mm-hmm. But I have taught their curriculums before over the years, even in churches, and it's very, very solid work. And it's again, it's geared to high school kids.
And it's the fundamentals of a healthy relationship.
Exactly.
And there's 9 signs that they believe are signs for a healthy relationship.
Yes, and actually, I think research would bear these out as well. So one of the first of those is, in a healthy relationship, you get to be you. I am not trying to make you, Angelia, into the image of what I want. In other words, you get to be the best version of you, right? You get to be yourself. Right? I call it the you and us, right? You get to be the you and us. It's a trinity. In the trinity, there's 3 separate parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of them is themselves, but they still are in us, right? Same thing here is you get to be yourself. And you know, when you get to be yourself, you get to say who you are. You get to share your hurts. You get to share your feelings. You get to share your fears, your likes and dislikes. That also would mean you get to tell me things you don't like that I'm doing. You see?
You can be honest. You can express yourself honestly.
Very much so.
And openly.
Very much so.
Okay.
We need to be able to do that. You notice most people, if they do express themselves, it's either in anger or they don't at all, because they tend to run away and they avoid. So either you're avoiding or you're aggressive.
That might be me.
Yeah. So you're either avoidant or
you're anger. Yes.
And if you do it through avoidance or aggression, you're not really being true to yourself, right? Okay. You're operating out what we call the lower order animal brain. Assertive is really healthy. Mm-hmm. Assertive means you are being you and you are speaking up for yourself. And that's healthy relationships. Think about it this way. In healthy relationships, our relationships going to help you become the best version of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's what I'm working on right now. Exactly that. I mean, because I need to be able to express more and express myself honestly. And I guess I've just never been in a relationship where I felt completely safe to do that.
And that goes back to our last week's session. Yeah. We talked about those different elements of safety. Emotional safety is very important, right?
Yeah.
So you get to be yourself. And you know, part of that is your partner approves and appreciates you being yourself.
And how do you know if they appreciate you?
By the way, they treat you. They don't try and change you. They don't. This past week, I did an intensive with a couple. And as they are sharing their great gratitudes, the husband says to his wife, "And I really am grateful that you become the best you, that you're standing up for yourself, although it does make me angry. But I do appreciate that." And I went,
"What?
No, we're going to stop right here." You just invalidated that, right?
Yeah.
He didn't see that as being manipulative, because it was.
And
her brain heard it. Her brain heard it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. All I heard was the negative.
He doesn't like the fact she's being herself.
Right.
You see? Uh-huh. And so when you get to be yourself, your partner affirms and allows you to be that and doesn't try and change you. Now, if you being yourself is dysfunctional or unhealthy, that might mean I may have to put up boundaries with you.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
But here we're talking about you get to be the best version of you, right?
Okay.
And another sign the Dibble research shows is that in healthy relationships, you get to feel free, and they have a list here of some things, to spend time apart from me. You know, we need time together. We need time alone. If you're in a relationship with a guy or a girl and they're demanding all of your time, you're going to feel smothered, and that's a form of control. That person's insecure.
Yeah. Right? I had that in my last relationship. I had that.
Yeah.
I feel like I think you need your time apart to grow.
You do. Or to be your own self.
To be your own self, to grow, to be independent, feel independent. But also, I think it also makes your relationship grow. At least for me, my love grows deeper the more that I'm able to be apart, to do my own thing, and then come back. And I really miss that person. And I miss, you know, what I didn't have. And I really love that. I love the get back together and, you know, come back, you know, come home and share your day and share what happened. And that actually makes me feel closer to a partner.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Matter of fact, the research by Family Wellness Associates talks about the three rules in a relationship. And one of those, and research shows, is healthy relationships, you have time to be together and time to be apart.
Mm-hmm.
All healthy relationships have to have both. Now, too much time together, that becomes dependency. Too much time apart is too much independence.
Right.
You
yes.
want interdependence.
Fine line.
You want
exactly.
interdependence. Time together, time apart, and you have a blend of both. And that's what's healthy.
Yes,
right?
Like that.
Yeah.
Very much.
And you have to feel free to be with your family, feel free to be with the other friends, you know. And this is a key. A healthy relationship allows you to feel free to be your own values. In other words, I don't try and change your values. And so, like, for the church, you know, we value, you know, sex before sex after marriage. For some Christians, it's not a value. And if it's not your value, I get it, but it is that person you're dating. Well, just because you agree with them or not, respect their value. You see what I mean? I just kind of bring it back down to level. You're disrespecting their value. I don't agree with your value. So what? It's still their value. Don't disrespect their value system just because you don't agree. And sadly, we see a lot of that even in the church today, people disrespecting people's values. In other words, is drinking a sin? Depends on who you talk to, right? Bible does say drunkenness is, but if a person thinks drinking is a sin, then respect it. Paul says, I will be all things, all people, right? If you don't want to eat meat, I won't eat meat in front of you. It's okay. That's my maturity. You see? So you get to free to be you without any pressure from me trying to change you. And let's be honest, trying to change another person is quite
That's
a bit.
It's difficult.
Yeah, someone asked me about a week ago, being playful, I said, what do you do with change in marriage? I said, I usually put it in a drawer. They said, what?
That's great.
I said, I put it in a drawer. They're like, oh, roll their eyes, right?
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
Now, another thing.
Save it up.
Yeah, exactly. Another sign of a healthy relationship, your partner hears what you say. In other words, they put here, your partner shows interest in you by taking time to listen. Your partner looks at you when you talk and lets you finish, which is about respect. James 1:19, slow to anger, quick to hear, slow to speak. The focus of that verse is on listening. And we like to say in our world, love listens.
So looking at the television and listening is not the same thing?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
because
you can't interrupt my program for whatever you're talking about. So
yeah, if you think about it, think about it this way. Which part of the physical body do you actually build intimacy through?
I would say eyes.
It is the eyes. It's not the genitals.
Okay.
It's not the arms.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking
it's the eyes.
It's what you see. It's what
you've... Yes. You build intimacy through the eyes.
Well, so then how does a blind person build intimacy?
They have to do it through touch.
Through touch.
And language,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Through touch and language, because they don't have that.
Wow.
You rely on other senses, right?
Okay.
The other senses can help you get there.
Okay.
But the primary one is through the eyes.
Okay.
You
so
see?
Touch. I think touch, hearing, and sight.
Yeah.
All of those.
Yeah, all of them do. But when you're talking to someone and they're not looking at you, what's the message you're sending?
Oh, I don't like that. When someone is not looking at me while I'm talking or they're talking,
it says you're not important.
I can't trust you.
It says you're not important.
It says I can't trust you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't like that.
Yeah. And so your partner hears what you say. And one way you know is they look at you. Like Luol said to me, put that down and look me in the eye. You're right.
Then she knows she has your full attention. Yes.
Exactly.
Because, and she matters.
Exactly.
And you respect her.
Because that's what it's, when you look at someone, when they're talking to you, it does say you matter. It says you have value.
Yes.
And it also says what your thoughts or feelings have value. Healthy relationships value that.
Yeah.
But by looking at each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's be honest. Sometimes if there's a fight, you may not want to look at each other. So we do know that sometimes standing next to each other, going, so what you're saying is this? Mm-hmm. What I'm doing here in the room, folks, is I'm kind of looking to my side. You stand side by side and talk to each other that way rather than facing each other.
Why? It's too intense when you're
sometimes
angry?
For some, it may feel too threatening to be face-to-face.
Ah.
So just call together and come to the side and just kind of look that way, to the side rather than that way. How's it go? So what you're saying is this? Now, right now, for our listeners, I'm actually looking at her from the side.
Uh-huh.
All right. But sometimes maybe just side to side.
Okay.
And just talk to each other that way.
I'm picturing children. That's what you do to children whenever children are
It is very good to do with kids.
And they're angry with one another.
You
put them, stand against the wall, both of you against the wall, and then you let them kind of, bah, 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 and they're kind of talking back and forth to each other. But I see that with kids.
Yes. And it's actually.
So adults, we work the same way.
Sometimes side by side is a good way with kids.
Uh-huh.
Particularly teenagers.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, stand side by side. All right, tell me what happened. Well, Dad, you know this and this and this. And so when that happened, this, yeah. Sometimes side by side is the way to do it as
so
well.
So go for a drive.
Or
get in
could
the car.
Be. Very much so.
You're angry, get in the car.
Very much so.
What great insight. I like that.
But the idea is it allows you to be vulnerable so your partner can hear what you have to say.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
Now, another one is, and this is really, really important, particularly since we know like in marriage, 68% of problems in a marriage cannot be solved. They're unsolvable. That's Gottman's research. Mm-hmm. In a healthy relationship, you can agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree.
Can we, though? Can we agree to disagree?
Yeah.
Can we?
We can.
Okay. All right.
My wife and I agree to disagree about a dog.
All right.
You know?
I'm going to have to wrap it right there. Let's agree to disagree. We've got to go to break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back talking about agreeing to disagree.
Okay.
How about that?
All and right. I agree.
You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. We'll be back in a moment.
Dr. Richard Marks is a licensed professional counselor and clinical fellow with the AAMFT and an ordained minister. His education and training is exemplary. He holds a PhD in counseling psychology and a master's in marriage and family therapy, as well as religious education. Throughout his life, Dr. Rick has taught graduate school, managed psychiatric hospitals, held private practice, and is a U.S. Navy veteran. He has served as commissioner on the Florida Commission on Healthy Marriage, as well as started the statewide Healthy Family Initiative in Kansas under Governor Brownback. He is an author and founder of the Relate Well Relationship Skills Program. As the founder of Relate Well, Dr. Marks provides singles, premarital, and married couples the tools they need to lead a healthy, mature relationship.
And we teach skills for attachment. We teach skills for bonding. We teach skills for confiding, for communication, problem solving. We'll even teach you how to regulate emotional energy so you can be angry instead of not.
In addition, he trains in corporations and organizations the essentials of emotionally healthy leadership. He's been featured as a guest on numerous TV stations and radio shows in Jacksonville. Dr. Marks resides in Jacksonville with his wife, Luella, who have been married since 1984, and they have three adult children. If Dr. Marks can serve your organization, business, church, or if you're seeking help through counseling and coaching, visit drrickmarks.com or relatewell.us or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we just left off with agreeing to disagree. We had to go to break, so
right.
We're coming back in with agreeing to disagree. We're back.
Yeah, and this is one of the signs of a healthy relationship based on what the Dibble research shows, that you can agree to disagree. In other words, we don't have to destroy the relationship. We can have our differences of views, differences of opinion. We can honor and validate them, but we're still different. We don't agree, and we can agree to disagree, and that is powerful in itself. What it's really saying is, we don't always have to have the same way of thinking, but we do value the relationship. So you can think your way, I can think my way.
How does that happen, though? Because I'm actually just thinking of a conversation I had with a friend of mine yesterday. And she, with her spouse, her husband, mm-hmm. They were not agreeing to disagree. They were fighting over, this is something so silly, but people who are married will understand. People fight over silly things when you're mm-hmm. married. They were fighting over a healthy eating philosophy. She is now doing this morning water with Himalayan salt and lemon. She fully believes that this is the way to go. This is her philosophy in healthy eating and cleansing her system and drinking tons of water. Her husband is adamant, you don't put sodium in your diet. You don't need sodium. Why are you putting a Himalayan salt in your diet? This makes no sense. So the two of them argued for an hour over lemon water with salt in it or no salt. So, as married couples do. So she said, fine, let's squash it and agree to disagree. And he's like, why am I going to agree to disagree? You're not right. You shouldn't have salt in your water. So how do you talk somebody into agreeing to disagree and just end the fight?
You can't in oh. that moment. You can't.
Okay.
It comes back to the realization that we destroy relationships because people would rather win an argument than have a relationship. To agree to disagree says, look, I value the relationship more than winning a fight. But if you want to value winning a fight, in other words, I'm forcing you to agree with me, you can destroy a relationship. Agreement, forcing agreement can just undo a relationship. Healthy, mature people understand we're just differences in our perspectives. And guess what? We can honor each other's perspective, agree to disagree. Why? Because I'd rather have the relationship. you know. Of course, my silly brain said, you said, you know, she's using Himalayan salt or whatever. Why is he laying salt? You know, Himalayan salt. Why is he laying salt down? You're right.
Oh, goodness.
So, Himalayan salt. Yeah, he's laying salt. Well, don't be laying it down.
But, I mean, that's the silly things that you argue about in a relationship. It's so minor in the scheme of things, but agreeing to disagree is taking it up a notch and maturing to a level that you can say, you know what? I mean, this is so silly. This is over a remote control or salt and water or whatever it is. And we just need to let it go and agree to disagree.
Yeah. Now, I will say that, and this takes the mature brain. The mature brain goes, well, would say, and help me understand why it's important for you to show me that I'm right and you're wrong, or that I'm wrong and you're right. And you get to realize most people's motives are actually pure. See, he made me thinking from his history, well, salt's bad for the heart, da-da-da-da-da. So his motive actually might be protecting her and protecting her heart. The problem is it's not his job. It's her job. Mm-hmm. It's her body, her heart. Mm-hmm. But his motive is actually pure. But he's doing it. His method is pure. You know, his motive is pure, but his method isn't working.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's like he probably thinks he's being helpful.
Exactly. The best example I can give is like people who give money to homeless and people who don't. Mm-hmm. People who don't go, I'm not going to give them money. They're going to go buy alcohol and buy drugs. Others who give money go, well, they're so hungry. And both, we may argue, the other one's wrong or right. And actually, they're both right based on their perspective. See, one person says, if I give you money, then you're going to hurt yourself with it. And I'm not going to be a part. Impartial or support you in hurting yourself.
It's actually
a form of care.
Okay.
The other person goes, well, you know what? I care enough to give you money, and it's not my job to dictate what you do with money. That's between you and God. So I'm going to give to you because you're hurting right here in front of me. I'm going to give because I care. I'll leave the outcome of what you do with it between you and God.
So both are right.
Both are operating out of care.
Yeah, they're both right.
They're operating out of a sense of care, but they're trying to force the other into their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Just agree to disagree.
Okay.
You know, just agree to disagree.
Okay. So, I think it's a tough one, and I think it's something everybody has to learn to face at some point in time.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do sometimes in different circumstances, but it's going to save the marriage or the relationship.
Yeah, because you can allow people to be who they are and have differences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realize they're coming from a good place. Maybe just to focus on they're coming from a good place.
Well, you have to find, you know, what would be the positive meaning for them in this?
Okay.
Do I have to agree with what they're doing, the way they're doing it? No, the method we may talk about the method, but your motive is good. So we can honor the motive, but we can change the method.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to boundaries. You need to respect your partner's boundaries, rather.
Yes. And I think that's pretty simple for this one. When they say no, respect their no. It's just real simple, right?
And no teasing.
Yeah, if they tell you don't tease, it's a boundary. They said don't tease me, don't tease. If they say, look, this is I want to do this, you know, then okay. You don't have to agree with them. But when someone says no, says don't do this, do this, just respect it. That's why I live by the four protectors, goodwill, respect, humility, and everything. To disrespect someone's boundary says a lot more about you than it does them. Mm-hmm. You see? This says I don't value the relationship, but I do value what I want in the relationship. Respect the boundaries, all right? And that's another one. And I think number six here is being honest with each other. You know, you got to have honesty in a relationship. You keep lying and deceiving. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you, you know? And you build trust by being honest. And I think that one's just kind of simple in itself. If you're lying, well, then guess what? They're going to know you as a liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about this one. Number of things we talked about having fun together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually one of the things that the Dibble research shows is healthy relationships, they have fun together, you know. I just can't convince a lot that going to a battlefield is fun right now, right?
I don't think that's ever going
to
happen.
No. I get my young son
that's
to
not
go.
Her idea of
I
fun.
Get my young son to go with me,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now,
that will be your alone time.
Well,
that will be your alone time that's going to make your relationship stronger.
You know what she started doing that I always thought was fun and still do, but he doesn't do it anymore? Tyler Perry does plays. I respect his movies, but I loved his plays. I loved going to his plays, and Luella would go with me.
Uh-huh.
And she would enjoy them. But to me, being at those plays, watching that was fun. And she had fun that I had fun. We went to Celine Dion. She didn't care about Celine Dion. But Luella had a blast at Celine Dion watching me sitting on the edge
dance
of my seat.
To Celine Dion,
singing.
Were you?
Yes. I was singing all the songs, right? Michael Bublé is coming to Jacksonville in August. Uh-huh. I got tickets. Uh-huh. He got canceled because of COVID. He's rescheduled. She's going with me.
Okay.
And I'm going to have fun, and she's going to have fun
watching
me
sing
all those songs I sing every week, right?
Okay, she's doing all this for you to have fun. You need to be doing something for her to have fun.
I go to the beach every once in a while.
Okay, all right. She's got to get a couple of fun things
do other things,
in there,
yeah. So, again, you know, we talked about fun pretty in-depth earlier. Mm-hmm. Another one, the next to last one on their list is you use partner that language builds it. You use language to build your partner up. You know, this is something that's near and dear to us, particularly in Relate Well. You always build people up. You don't tear down. Share gratitude, share appreciations all the time. Mm-hmm. When you tear someone down over and over and over and over, it begs the question, why do you want to be with me? Why are you here? If I am this bad of a person, why do we have a relationship? Seems like you should just leave. You see, if someone has value to you, you build them up. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words, think gratitudes or appreciations or positive, is pleasing to the physical body. That's interesting, because whenever you build people up, the moment they hear those positive words, their brain releases dopamine. Dopamine is it's a neurochemical. It's one of the feel-good, you know, neurochemicals. I always tell people, give dopamine shots regularly. Approve, encourage, support, affirm. Speak those words. Every day, I do that to the well. You know? I'm so grateful I have you. I tell my kids, my oldest son, he's living with me right now, I gave him a big hug today. So I'm so proud to have you in my life. You know? You are a joy to me. Always want to speak those things over. And I do it over other people, you know?
Oh.
Because healthy relationships, if you want the relationship, then that means that meaning to you. Share that meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains need to hear it.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, early in our marriage, I said to Luella, I know everything about me you don't like. Do you appreciate anything? She said, yes. I go, well, I need to hear it because my brain needs to hear it.
What is it?
Let's
put it on tape so I can replay over and over every day.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing is, particularly from a marital standpoint, if all you get is criticism, and then you go out there in the world and other people of the opposite gender keep giving you affirmations, biologically, it draws you to them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it says they notice you, they value you, you're important to them.
Yeah.
That releases dopamine. And that's why I told her, I don't want those feelings from those. I want those from you. I need to hear those words.
That's important. Say that again. I think that's so important for relationships, anybody in a relationship, marriage or relationship, to hear, because everybody will outsource that dopamine shot, if you will, if that person that you are with is not giving that to you.
If I don't feel accepted, approved, or appreciated by you, and I always tell people, Satan will meet that need for you,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to do it in what we call a rat poison way. He's going to meet the need. It will feel good because you'll get your dopamine shot. But the problem is the source of your pleasure will become the source of your pain.
Mm-hmm. And that's in working relationships, too. How many working positions you've been in. Your boss just keeps criticizing. Soon enough, you're going to look for another job.
Well, I do corporate work, and one of my lectures I give in businesses is the title is, people don't leave their job, they leave their bosses.
That's exactly.
And research shows
that's
exactly what. Why? You tear me down, you treat me like crap. Why would I be here?
Yeah.
I can go find a job where I can treat it better.
Yeah.
You see me?
And that's the way it is in relationships too. So.
And this is an important one, I think. Healthy relationships take their time.
What do you mean take your time?
Here's some points they give for that. You take time to get to know each other and what each of you value. You know, You don't try and push someone to tell you all who they are. You get to know them. You get to understand them. You get to watch them. You see, you don't try and force something out of them. You talk, another point here they wrote was, you talk about where you think your relationship might go and how it might be different in a month, a year. And a third point they give is, you accept that we all grow and change, and relationships do too. In other words, you take your time, because just be honest, I'm not the same guy I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, right? But in time, I've grown and I've matured. And Luella's allowed that to happen because she's seen it happening. She doesn't expect me to be Jesus, right? But she does watch me become a better version of me. That takes time. I don't try and force it. I don't try and move it. I just, you respect it. Relationships take time to develop and nurture and grow, and you allow that time to take place.
How much time does it really take to get to know someone?
Well, the only thing I know in that in terms of research was Dr. Jim Talley's book, Too Close, Too Soon, which is all about that question in a sense. And he argues to build an intimate relationship, not an acquaintance relationship, but an intimate relationship with somebody, 800 hours spread out over 11 months. All right, it's his research. Okay. But what most people do is they try and throw it together in 1 month and they move in with each other. Yeah. If they're on about it, they don't know each other. All that is the emotion. Yeah. It's just neurochemicals, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got to, unfortunately, end the program here. So if you would like to learn how to lead a life through all four of the protectors in all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or even us in the workplace, then register for the online Relate Well Core Program. You can register for Relate Well as a single or couples and just register online today at relatewell.us. And if you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching from Dr. Rick himself, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. 8683. Well, this has been another informative show from Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks to help you live the best life that you can possible. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.